Hello and welcome to all our radio entrepreneurs, listeners, and viewers. I'm producer Nathan Gobes, and I'm excited to introduce you to part two of a brand new segment on radio entrepreneurs, the FBA family business panel discussion. Before we get to our esteemed panelists, I'd like to mention the primary sponsor of the show, FBA. Family Business Association supports and awards family-owned and operated businesses throughout the New England area. And in this December edition of the panel, the discussion will be broken into three parts, and we'll be covering topics related to adapting to change, organizing company financials, budgeting and minimizing costs during the pandemic, preparing for the end of the year and start of 2021, and much more. This episode is part two of three, and in this portion, we'll be discussing the second of these topics, financials, budgeting, and minimizing costs. If you have not yet seen part one of the panel discussion, we recommend you head over to radioentrepreneurs.com or any of our many channels to catch this first segment where we discuss adapting to change in difficult times. Be sure to follow us on LinkedIn, YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, or any of the other many platforms we stream on to catch the third segment as that goes live later. Next, I'll quickly introduce our three panelists for this discussion and our hosts. For their full introductions, please refer back to episode one, which is linked in the description below. We're joined today by Rich Hershen, partner at Gray, Gray & Gray, Stephen Wilchins, founding partner and attorney at Wilchins, Constantino & Novins, and Christian Stone, vice president of private banking at Cambridge Trust. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
And last but not least, a man who needs no introduction, Radio Entrepreneurs host and founder of Mage LLC, Jeffrey Davis. Welcome, Jeffrey. I'll hand the conversation over to you.
Well, thank you, Nathan. And I think you forgot to say that during these segments, we've created a new name for Christian, and we call him the professor because of all the content he brings to everything that he does. So Christian could write an encyclopedia almost for every question that we have. My first question with this, because I think this is an important topic. My partner always reminds me for the last 35 years that I might be doing a lot of the business, but he keeps me in business by watching the back room. And some people here know my partner. So I start with Rich Hershen because it's all about money. And then we'll probably move around to Chris. What is the importance of budgeting and forecasting? Has it changed at all during COVID? Rich?
So I don't know if the importance has necessarily changed. I'm a big fan of budgeting. Could talk about it for a while. We could do a whole show on budgeting, but certainly COVID has changed things in the world. Businesses might be operating on tighter margins, might have a smaller margin for error. But you know, during COVID times and not COVID times, I think budgeting is hugely important. You know, in putting that together at the beginning of the year, you'll have some idea of what you can spend and what you can't spend and what your revenues are going to be. It can help with cash flow modeling. So you can identify early on if you're going to have some, you know, cash flow issues and you need to go, you know, talk to Christian and get some financing or more capital. So you can do that. It also, with so many people working remotely, internal controls have changed a bit. You know, so you're not there, and having a budget where you can compare your actual to budget and look into the variances and get an understanding of what's caused them and thinking to yourself, does that make sense for my business? And you can identify fraud and issues that way as an internal control by just comparing the budget. So, you know, I think it's key. And if you notice trends are starting and you notice, hey, you're not hitting your revenue targets, your budget revenue for the first month or two, you need to act and start changing things. And whether that's, you know, marketing differently, getting the new product lines or new services, or having to cut some costs to make it work. A budget can tell you all that and can tell you timely.
Well, I'm going to change it a little bit for you, Chris. I'm going to change it up a little bit. Okay. If you don't mind. I mean, I think a lot of companies didn't make their forecasts, and their forecasts are what helped them go to the bank in the first place. Mm-hmm. And you know, my experience with private business, family business over the years is that they're always trying to put on the best face for their banker. They might tell the truth to their accountant, but they put on their best face for the banker. So how are you dealing with that? Because, you know, people are worried now about the last problem they want is with their bank right now.
Yeah, I would say there's two aspects of it. There's the company level and then there's the business owner level. So from a company level standpoint, I can tell you that my commercial lending colleagues know our clients better than anybody, and they will work with them however we need to work with them to ensure that they're taken care of, that their needs are addressed as best we can address them, help think about ideas outside the box that maybe we haven't spoken with them about before, and think about, are there other areas of the business that we can play a role in helping them with? From a business owner perspective, you're seeing a lot of folks embrace the idea of what's going to come next for them and for the business. Are they going to sell the business? Are they going to pass it along to next generation or what have you? And so that's brought their own budgeting and their own financial planning to the forefront in trying to understand, what is this business worth? Is it going to sustain me in retirement? What else should I be thinking about, and what assumptions should I be using to think about next steps for me personally? So there's a couple different, I think, areas to think about as a business owner, both from a personal and company perspective. But in a, hopefully, if you have a good relationship with your bank and you have a good relationship with your wealth management team, you're able to dive into some of these ideas and topics so that you can feel good about next steps and decisions.
So, Steve, I don't want to take away from your financial skills, so I have to give you a shot at this as well.
I think that's, you asked me to go. Okay, so I think budgeting at this time needs to be resilient. I think it's fluid at this time, and I think you need to reassess on a continuous basis, both on the fixed costs and variable costs, and look at how are we looking on our payables? How do we look on our receivables? How do we be more creative on not only going to our banking, making sure our bank is, bankers, we have a good relationship, but how do we deal with our vendors and our suppliers? How do we stretch those slightly intelligently? Because we want to make sure we survive, but we also want to make sure our model survives, and the entire model, the chain, needs to survive. So our customers and suppliers need to be treated fairly as well. So that's very important. We also feel, you know, and the other issue on the budgeting is making sure, you know, what is our insurance? What is our business interruption insurance? How does that look? Most of the times there's an exclusion for the pandemic, but at the same time, we should look at that and maybe at some point reassess that. So it's a constant thing, and you want to engage your key employees to understand all phases on the budgeting process.
Well, you guys are more thorough than I thought you'd be. So I'm going to go down to a question that I think is really important. How do you, during this particular economy, how do you access capital? Is it different than before, Rich? And again, I'll start with Rich and maybe you too, Professor. is it harder to access capital? I know your bank is very busy, and not all banks are busy. I know I was on a CFO panel a few weeks ago, and they were lamenting how some banks have sort of hunkered down at like a groundhog, and some banks have sort of opened up. It's worked differently. But again, maybe I'll just reverse the order. I'll start with you, Chris. How do you see it, accessing capital during this market?
Well, I think you're just seeing companies that perhaps previously didn't want debt, hate debt, are now perhaps understanding that there might be a need for it, whether it's some sort of working capital, line of credit, something to help them bridge the gaps between, you know, between their receivables and working with vendors and making sure that there are no issues with payroll or otherwise. And so it's a constant communication and conversation that we're having with clients to see how else can we help, because that's really our role, right? Is yes, we're a bank, and yes, we have shareholders, etc., but our clients are the reason why we're here. And so I think that we play a very active role in trying to understand what else is there, can we do, and can we help the business owners think about other ways that maybe they haven't previously embraced to help their business.
I think those are great points, Christian. I think, you know, in a time like this, you can really differentiate yourself as a service provider by taking care of your clients. And so, you know, Christian just being there, maybe they can't lend, but they can help them find other sources of capital or things like that. I mean, that's kind of the who you want to partner with, someone that's going to help you and be there for you when in the good times and the bad times. You know, and also I think there's been a lot of new government programs that have come out as part of this, you know, that weren't there before with PPP loans and Main Street grants and so on. There's talk there might be a second round of PPP loans. So there are some government assistance programs that can be a big help too, that can give businesses some capital.
The only issue though on the financing side with capital is I think you've noticed a tightening generally of credit. Okay, certainly the clients that I've been working with, and there's additional, the financial institutions are asking for additional collateral, and sometimes the clients are able to handle that, and sometimes they, you know, it's problematic. So they have to deal with their, you know, financial institution and try to figure out a way to make it work. And most financial institutions want to make it work. They have a relationship with their customers. So they try to figure out a way that is good for both parties.
Now, I'm going to have one more question, but I want to just sort of summarize it from my perspective. I'm not a financial person by training, as Rich knows very well. But I believe always negotiate from power. And I'm a top line guy and I like strategy. I don't think the best way to negotiate is from weakness. So I think that, you know, money likes to follow success. And so I still believe that many great companies in the history of the world have been built during a bad economy. Competition gets a little less competitive and the aggressor wins. And so I believe build your plan and prove your plan works. And if you have proof of plan, I think the money will follow you, you know, and that's the way I like to go at it. That's the way I work with my clients. That's my first option always. I like to build from strength, not weakness. There's always that weakness you have to deal with, but I like to give you the other side of the coin. And I hope you guys agree with that as well. I'm going to sort of switch it around a little bit. This is not as much a finance question, but, you know, right now during COVID, the web is more important than ever before. We're now broadcasting over the web on 6 or 7 channels. I've lost count. And doing marketing is more important than ever before. A lot of people are very traditional. They're trying to hunker down into networking groups. I'm not a traditionalist. I think anyone who knows that knows me. What do you think is important to be doing online now? And especially, I'll even turn it a little bit to finance. You can do a lot of your cash management now online, correct? For our financial people, you don't have to be, you know, mailing out invoices and, you know, taking checks to the bank anymore. So it's not just the web for marketing, but it's also the web for finance.
Yeah, I think you're right. And key in surviving this. I mean, I've said many times, luckily this is happening in 2020 when we have good internet service and we have all these online systems. It's where, you know, 20, 25 years ago, I don't know how we'd get by. I guess somehow we'd find a way, but there are a lot of products out there, you know, whether it's bill paying online where you can actually write the checks online and you just click off and they get sent out, receiving invoices of, you know, PDF copies and so on, sending your invoices out electronically. You know, those are things that companies need to do because, you know, especially in the first couple of months of the pandemic, companies were receiving checks in the mail and no one was at the office to go deposit them, or you were sending invoices to your customers and no one was there to, you know, to get them and pay them. So we've had to go online. And I think this pandemic has forced some companies to do what, you know, probably we should have done a few years ago as these products have gotten better.
Right. And also it's enabled companies to increase their brand awareness and refocus in a pandemic where they're not selling the product, but they're selling, you know, their brand, their truthfulness or reliability or caring or customer service, but they're not actually selling. If they handle it properly, they can really convey an excellent message to the consumer, but not directly selling. So it helps in that regard.
And I think that this is part of what I think we discussed in the first part of the program was the willingness to reach out to other professionals and other people that they can surround themselves, whether it's even just speaking with their board of advisors more frequently to figure out who else should we be talking to, how else can we push business forward and get our name out there from a marketing perspective. Are there other professionals we should be speaking with outside of our banking team and our accounting team and our legal team? Who else can we be bringing into the mix here?
I think that's a really important point, a good way to end that series of questions. You know, if you're an entrepreneur, you have to consistently, and a leader, be looking at what are your options and not just relying on what was good for you yesterday. Nathan, we're going to bring you back online with us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jeff. And thank you, Christian, Steve, and Rich. That was another really good segment. That wraps up part two of the FBA family panel discussion. Thank you to the listeners and viewers who have tuned in for this new segment. Links will be provided in the video's description below to part one if you didn't hear it already, and part three for when that goes live. Be sure to subscribe to us and follow so you can stay up to date. Thank you, and we'll be back with more stories on Radio Entrepreneurs.